Hello, and welcome to the second podcast of this profiling series, introducing you to the members of the International Water Association's Digital Water Programs Steering Committee. The IWA Digital Water Program is on a mission to provide a platform for utilities to explore and share experiences on their digital water journey. The program has provided roadmaps and guidance that will help water utilities in making the transition to the next generation of smart water systems and fulfill the need for improved resiliency to secure and sustainably manage water resources now and in the future. The steering committee conceptualizes and produces these and other outputs of the program, including white papers, books, webinars, and podcast series, just like this one. I am Erin Jordan, Strategic Programs Officer at the IWA, coordinating the Digital Water Program. And my guest today is Eunice Namirembe, Innovations Specialist in the Kampala Capital City Authority in Uganda. Eunice has been a member of the Digital Water Program Steering Committee since 2022, contributing to the digitalization of water and sanitation in low middle income countries context subgroup of the committee. Welcome to the podcast, Eunice.
Thank you very much, Erin.
So let's get into it, Eunice. Firstly, tell the listeners, who are you?
Thank you very much, Erin. My name is Eunice Namirembe, currently working with the Kampala Capital City Authority. I have been working with KCCA for over 8 years now as an innovation specialist, setting up smart city solutions to improve service delivery within Kampala City, with the latest innovations being setting up a city call center, as well as setting up an application, a mobile application, to be able to track sanitation service delivery within Kampala. Outside of that, I also do consultations in the area of using ICT for development for various countries in the low and medium income countries in Africa.
That's great, Eunice. It seems that you're very busy, very, very busy lady. So I'm grateful that you give some time to do this podcast today. You mentioned that you are working on several projects with the Kampala Capital City Authority, but can you give a bit more insight into your day-to-day in your role as innovation specialist?
My day-to-day work involves looking at and analyzing what are the city problems, especially in the area of sanitation and environment, and being able to see what smart solutions is in the area of ICT that can be used to improve service delivery on behalf of the city. So sometimes we have people that want to empty their toilets. We have people that have solid waste that is stuck at their homes, and they want to be able to receive a service of making sure that the waste ends up in the right places. So using a technology of the mobile application called Wayonje, they're able to go on the application and be able to request for a service of either emptying or solid waste, and then be able to receive that service. And our work as the city authority is to regulate and see that actually the private sector is bringing the right type of service to the people, that it is fair, that it is done in an equitable way, that also it is affordable, and also there is effectiveness in the service delivery. So the platforms that we are supposed to build are supposed to make us be able to monitor service delivery and be able to use data, evidence-based data, for regulation and be able to make new policies that will be able to guide service delivery.
That sounds interesting, and it is quite a complex service that you're offering. And I have a question. How long did it take for a platform like this to be developed in order to service the customers and to get the private sector on board?
I'll talk about this from a point of a story view. And in 2017, at the Kampala Capital City Authority, we were doing sort of like a review of how the city looks like in the area of sanitation, a sanitation mapping exercise. And that data helped us to know what type of city we have in terms of sanitation. And from a passion point of view and me building, I've built very many ICT tools for people outside the country. I've been able to do tools in the area of health, education, in countries like Ghana, in countries like Tanzania, like Kenya. But I wanted something that I can do for my home country as well, to benefit from the skills that I've also given to other countries. And when I joined KCCA, it was an opportunity for me to also look at a new field. I wanted a completely new field, the health field. You know, everyone is innovating for the health field. Everyone is innovating for education. You know, there's so many apps in that area and people are very innovative in that area. But when I entered the sanitation sector, there wasn't much innovation there. All the innovations had nothing to do with using ICT to solve service delivery. All of them, most of them were actually in the area of water and not in sanitation. And that is when the idea in 2018 was born, after I looked at some of the data for the sanitation mapping data. I looked at it and I was very interested in, can't we try out, you know, a sanitation Uber sort of like innovation. And we started very small. We started very small with only first creating, we first actually inserted GPS in the in trucks. So, and when we had that, all we had were so many, you know, GIS locations of people, and it wasn't giving us the kind of data that we needed. Then later I applied for a fund with the GSMA, and they were interested to give me a fund to create an application mainly for the service provider, because we did not think that we needed to include a client because we had a call center. So the service provider, I enrolled 94 service providers. Now, in a very dedicated 2 months, they gave us very good data that helped us to plan for the city. And that was an eye-opener that actually we can also give an app for the client to be able now to make decisions on when to request for a service. And that is when we also built the application with funding from the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. And it takes a lot of time to build these solutions. This is not a solution like which has been easy, like a health solution. This sanitation is a completely different field. People, you know, there's disease outbreak, and then, you know, you have to really be able to come up with a solution very fast. And the groundbreaking part for us was actually COVID, when everyone was at home, but everyone really needed a sanitation service. How could they access it? Then the app came into, it became very important in that area. And that is when we really now went full blown. And with using the data that we had for the application, we started studying and seeing that, wait a minute, there are people in the informal settlements that are not emptying their toilets. And those informal settlements are some of the areas that were having cholera outbreaks. Then we thought, okay, can we just put a subsidy during the COVID season to be able to encourage these people to empty more? Because first of all, they also did not have incomes at that time. They were not working. So we also built an additional system that tracks people that are living in the informal settlements and how we are able to give them a subsidy to aid pit emptying. And using that system, we've been able to track and empty over 8,000 toilets in the informal settlements in a period of only 2 years. But I'm also happy to note that using this system and using the data that we are using to be able to make decisions as a city, we have not had a cholera outbreak in the last 2 years, which is a very good success for us.
Thank you for that very detailed explanation and description of the service. And it's impressive to me that it happened in such a short space of time. But I believe that the conditions at the time were perfect to make it a success. Now that you've explained all of this, what does the digital transformation of the water sector look like to you?
For me, it is really the phrase of digital tools are just an enabler. They are not the solution that probably we are looking at. They're just an ends to a means that we want to get. What is very important is the kind of data we are able to get to be able to make decisions as for a city, for a municipality, for a country. So we should be able to first identify the kind of data that we want. And from that, we build digital tools around them to deliver this kind of data, but also use that data very carefully to make the right decisions to improve our societies. So digitalization for me, what it means is really the right kind of data. It's really looking at the data and indicators to be able to build digital tools around them to deliver that data that we need to make the right decisions. It should be evidence-based data, and this data should have checks and balances to make sure that it is the right kind of data to help us to make decisions.
And now that you've said that, I have another question. If you could give one nugget of advice, you know, just one thing that you think is the most important thing that they need to hear, a nugget of advice on digitalization, what would it be, and who would you give this advice to?
I would give this advice to governments. Very many people or NGOs, I've seen CSOs come up with very good tools. They only take it to a mass of only about 2,000 people, a good tool. But you see, if it's not already embedded in the government planning, then it will just be a good tool that has been funded and is seated somewhere. Most of the times you'll also see that some of these tools, once people start to scale them up, especially in Africa, then they actually really don't work because they tested them without looking at and understanding what the governments are struggling with. So I would speak to people, I would speak to the civil society. You need, even if you are coming up with tools that you are building, platforms, it would be very good to work with government to make sure that these tools are used on a larger scale. And then I would speak to governments to be able to find a way to work directly with the private sector and the CSOs to align, you know, the kind of data that the country needs so that we are serving more people with the tools that we are developing. And we are able to make the right decisions. I would really want to see a collaboration between the CSOs, the private sector, and governments in trying to deliver service delivery and be able to create platforms that are able to speak and give services to the people in the communities.
It's a hopeful set of advice that you're giving. We have been working in a European Horizon 2020 project, PrimeWater. It's about Earth observation, using the tools, remote sensing, satellite data for water quality management, water resources management. And we noted throughout the course of the project that one of the main barriers was getting policymakers and legislators, you know, government, to add these types of tools to their different policies in water management overall. So I wanted to ask you, you just mentioned that you would love to see a collaboration between these organizations and government to make sure that we can incorporate and integrate these things into their day-to-day processes of managing the resources of the countries. How do you think that we can get the government to see the value of these tools?
Definitely, working with government can be very challenging. The biggest challenge definitely being budgets, and it shouldn't be really budgets, but I think prioritizing budgets for some of the things that we have challenges with, especially in the field and planning. But still, it would be very good from the onset to involve government in whatever you're doing. When I was taking the Solid Waste platform to the community, I still consulted with government. They had to give me what region can I test with. Write to me and tell me what region can I take this pilot. And then I need to also give feedback back to government. We shouldn't create products. Right now, governments are having fatigue with digital tools. You know, we are bringing all sorts of tools to them. But then are they the tools that they need? Most times when you assess a government, you find that most of the tools that they have are all working in isolation, and there are too many, and sometimes they cannot be harmonized. But I would also really encourage governments to come up with digital roadmaps. What is your digital roadmap? Such that if a CSO comes to me and tells me I have a such and such a digital tool, I need to see, according to the roadmap and strategy, does it fit into the strategy of government? Can we allow to take this up? Because even if you just come with funding and money and a very good tool, it should be able to fit in a roadmap and a plan that you have as a government you know, sector to be able to take that up. So it's also both ways. The CSOs should really start from the onset with planning to consult with government, but also the governments should also put in place digital roadmaps to be able to know what to take on and what not to take on.
I think you have it from both perspectives as a consultant and also working in the Kampala Capital City Authority. So it's good to hear this feedback. All right. So we've discussed all of these serious things, but now I want to take a little left turn or right turn, depending on how you see it, and talk a bit about fun stuff. Now, you're a very busy professional, and the work that you're doing is very, very crucial to the livelihoods of many citizens of Kampala. But when you're not working on these things, what can we find Eunice doing?
I love to travel. I love adventure, and I love to travel. I think it's because in my nature, I love challenges. So you'll find me traveling, doing probably bungee jumping, doing adventure kind of stuff, really, something, you know, out there, visiting new places. Mostly that is what I do for fun part. But also, yeah, I also do a bit of charity.
That is interesting. Bungee jumping. Bungee jumping, that is... What I expected to hear.
Very adventurous.
Wow. This is very, very, very new for me. Okay. All right, Eunice. So, final 60 seconds. Can you tell everybody where they can connect with you and what they could expect from you for the rest of 2023?
2023 is really a good one because we are taking the innovation that I'm doing of the sanitation Uber app to working with a regulator space in Africa, a regulator body in Africa, to take this up to over 12 countries. And so a bit of traveling and creation and innovating, which is very exciting for me. Seeing other countries also take up this product is very exciting for me. And yeah, that is the rest of 2023. So if you meet me at conferences, I will be at the Iowa conference in December, also speaking about the new app called Sunny Tracker that is going all over Africa. And then if you can't find me at a conference, I'm on Twitter as GNAY Uni. And then you can find me on LinkedIn as well. We can connect on LinkedIn. Just type Eunice Namirembe. You will see me there on LinkedIn.
That is awesome to hear that sanitation Uber app is going further across the continent. Congratulations on that. And I do look forward to meeting you in person in Kigali in December. To all the listeners, everything that Eunice just mentioned, it will be in the bio of this podcast. So there will be a link to everything that she's just mentioned. You'll find all the information you need. Eunice, it has been an absolute pleasure interviewing you today. I learned a lot more than I was expecting, especially this bit about bungee jumping. That blew me out of the water. So thank you very much for joining.
Thank you so much, Erin. We shall speak more. Thank you.
Thank you to all of our listeners as well. As usual, stay tuned for more episodes of this profiling podcast, and you can connect and engage with the Digital Water Program on the IW Connect Plus platform and through our quarterly newsletter. All of these links will be in the bio. Bye.